Mãe!
Ready. Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk?
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 175 of the report. And right now, we're listening to some old school Teddy Pendergrass, man. Come Go With Me. Right here on episode 175. Let's rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. We are chilling out here on this Sunday evening, man. Right before Game of Thrones come on, we got to get this show in. It's been a couple weeks, man. It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the mic, so we got to get this in. But, yeah, what's going on with y'all? It's been a long time, man. I got to get reacquainted to this mic and shit. I got to get reacquainted to my process and the whole nine, because I ain't been on here in a minute. It's been, I think the last episode I put out was like August 6th. So, yeah, man, it's been a minute. But, of course, before we get into the show, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me. Hit the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I play them right here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course, I'll read those emails and respond to those right here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Go ahead and follow me there. Like the Mr. Span fan page, join the Span Report Facebook group, man. Go ahead and do that. I appreciate anybody who does that. And everything is available at thespanreport.com. Everything. This podcast, replays of the show, the whole nine. But I got to make a point about this song right here. Hold on, let me turn this back up. Think about it, yeah. Come on and go with me. Come on over to my place. A lot of y'all got here because of this song.
quite a long time.
Teddy P was sounding real motherfucking pressed on this song, y'all. Real pressed, bro.
See, I've been watching you.
I've been doing the same.
I've had my eyes on you.
You done flipped her.
So nice, you look so sweet. Come on and go with me. You look like you ought to be with me.
Now, she done said no three times already, though. Not a car right outside, right on front. He done flipped it, y'all. He done straight flipped it. She done went from telling this motherfucker no to like, yeah, man, you know what? It might be a good idea.
If we left here and we went somewhere else, baby, to my place. Somewhere where it's nice and quiet. It's nice and quiet.
You landed on real thick, bro.
We can sit down by a cozy fire. We can sip a little wine. Work things out.
Work what out?
Work things out. Come on over to my place. Leave me, you won't be under any kind of pressure.
Like the pressure you put on it right now?
I wouldn't do that, baby. No. See, I wouldn't do that, baby. See, I just want to sit down and get to know you a little better.
That's all it is. You just want to get to know a little better. Sit by the cozy lit fire, drink wine, take her out of the place where she's at, the whole nine. You know, it's funny, man. Like, I was listening to this song, like, I think I was coming back from the store or some shit, right? And I was listening to this shit. And, you know, I jam out to a lot of old school shit, man. Like, I'm an old school R&B kind of cat, man. Of course, like, you know, I listen to the rap and all that other shit. But genuinely, I'm an R&B dude, you know, through and through. So I'm listening to this shit, and I was thinking, man, I'm like, yo, like, this is one of those songs where, like, if the dude had made this shit today, he, like, this song couldn't be made today, right? Because of the way we look at things, and because of the way, like, the culture has changed, this is a song that we couldn't make today. Like, the first time she said no, should have been the end of it, bruh. Like, but back in the day, it was like, yo, persistence wins out. Right, so he pretty much wore her down to the point where she like, all right, man, I guess I can go to your house to sit by the fire and drink wine and shit. But I'm only going to be there for like an hour. You know what I'm saying? Like today, man, that's like borderline fucking, he'd have probably got maced. You know what I'm saying? He'd have probably got maced continuing with the pursuit of this woman in the way in which he did. And he was like, yo, you're not going to be under any kind of pressure. Like, yeah, dude, you done said that like three times and she told you no like three times, but you still trying to get her back to your crib. Now, of course, man, like we talk about this shit on the show all the time, man. It's like the thing with like going back to the crib. I know I don't want to fuck the song up for everybody, but we've talked about this, man. Like this is attitude with a lot of fellas, man. We're like, if she comes back to the crib, if I buy some drink, if I get her some weed or whatever, yo, she giving me that ass, man. Like it's like a give where like they feel like they're entitled to the point where, yo, that's gonna happen. That's gonna happen. So yeah, man. I was listening to that, and then I was just kind of thinking like, yo, with the way that we live right now, this shit could never be made, and it wouldn't be the classic song that it is. I still fuck with it, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, it's still kind of problematic now, right? Right? But it's still a classic song, man. And shout out to Teddy Pendergrass, man. One of the few R&B cats, man. Like it's the thing about the masculine voices, man. Like I think the one of the few dudes we got with the masculine voice now is Tyrese, and y'all know how like Tyrese be out here on the dumb shit too. But yeah, man, like. Just harkening back to some of the old school shit, man. One of the songs that is probably the reasons how some of us got here, right? Excuse me. So, yeah, man, it's been a while. It's been a while since I talked to y'all, man. And let's see. Like I said, the last show I did was episode number 174. It was like August 6th, I believe. So, like 2 weeks. It's been exactly 2 weeks since the last time I was on the mic. And I was celebrating my anniversary. My wife and I were celebrating our second anniversary, man. And it was great. It was great. We had a really good time, man. We always go down to New Orleans. Like, New Orleans has kind of been like our annual thing pretty much since we've been together, man. Like, when she moved in and the whole nine. Like, we've been doing the New Orleans thing. And this year was the first year we actually went down there alone. It was just me and her. My in-laws didn't come with us. We didn't have any family and friends with us. It was just the two of us. And it gave us an opportunity to just kind of go do some things on our own, like not necessarily worrying about other people, so to speak. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy my in-laws and my family and friends and stuff when they come through. But like, yo, sometimes you just want to kind of move and you ain't really trying to worry about what everybody else got going on, right? So it was an opportunity for us to go ahead and do that, man. We went on a swamp tour and shit. And let me tell you about this swamp tour, right? So here's the thing. We're in the cab on our way into the French Quarter from the airport once we landed. And my wife was trying to figure out some other things for us to do because we've done this trip quite a few times. So she's like, maybe we should do some different stuff. So she's like, yo, maybe we should try the swamp tour, you know, whatever. Try to check that out. And I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. So she's booking the trip and she's like, yo, it's like $50 for the ride, for the bus ride over to the swamp tour. And I'm like, damn, that's a lot of money just for the bus ride to the swamp tour. And we still got to pay for the swamp tour. So I said, nah, scrap that. We'll just pay for the swamp tour. Right. Wish I hadn't done that. Right. So because when it came time to go to the swamp tour, what we ended up doing, we ended up grabbing an Uber, right? Uber ride was like $40 one way for the both of us. I'm like, I can still do that. It's not a really big deal. Take the Uber out there. Right now, the swamp tour is in Slidell, Louisiana. It's not in New Orleans. It's in Slidell. That was like a 40-minute ride outside of the city. And now I understand why they had the fucking $50 bus ride back in, right? Because once we got there and our Uber dropped us off, the first thing that hit my motherfucking head was like, yo, Span, how the fuck you getting back into New Orleans, bruh? You gonna Uber it back home? Like, you gonna Uber it? Like, you gonna be waiting out here in the swamps all day for Uber to get his ass back out here, right? So we ended up trying to figure out whether or not we can get on one of those buses to go back into the city, right? But outside of that, right, the swamp tour was cool. You know, we were, you know, going through some of like, you know, it was a few areas that they were talking about that was hit by Hurricane Katrina, and we kind of looked over some of that stuff. We got a chance to see some of the wildlife in the swamps. There was a lot of gators in the water, a lot of catfish in the water, wild pigs and shit like that. And then you start seeing how, like, folks were living, man. Like, you start seeing, like, how, like, the plumbing and stuff was going on. Like, people had, like, these pumping systems to get them fresh water. And, like, you wonder where the fuck is their sewage going? Is it going right back into the swamp and all this other stuff? And, like, it was cool. But then it was like, yo, you on this boat with all these white people who don't know how to follow directions. Right, so we on this bus, and the bus, I mean, I'm sorry, not the bus, we on this boat, and the bus has signs all over this motherfucker that says no standing, please do not stand. And then you look up and a crocodile comes up, or I'm sorry, an alligator comes up, and all these white people are standing, they leaning over the side of the damn boat trying to get really good snapshots of the alligator and shit, jumping up out of the water to grab this hot dog that the tour guide is showing, you know, is trying to feed the damn alligator or whatever. He done gave all these alligators names, all sorts of shit, right? And then we saw this one dude, man, I swear for breast milk, man, saw this one cat. This dude looked every fucking bit like Macho Man Randy Savage, man. Macho Man Randy Savage. He looked like he was about 50 years old, but he was cut, man. He was a cut white dude. Like, he looked like he worked out. You know what I'm saying? But he had his trucker hat on. He had like this this tank top on with a bunch of porn stars on it and shit, like porn magazines or whatever, and some camo shorts. And he had his sandals on. And then the next time we seen him, because he got on another boat, the next time we seen him, this motherfucker was standing starboard doing the Captain Morgan and shit with no shirt on. Craziest shit I ever seen in my life. Outside of the whole alligators and the white people not paying attention to the signs on the boat and all this other shit. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Like, the whole boat shit is cool, man. Another thing about New Orleans, man, I got a chance to meet a listener of the Span Report, man. Shout out to my man Jeremy, man. He lost a bet to your boy. Right? Jeremy lost a bet to your boy. So check this out. Jeremy owed me a drink from the NBA Finals. He bet me that in the NBA Finals that the Cleveland Cavaliers was going to beat out the Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't know what the fuck he thought was going on with that, but yeah, he lost. He lost like a motherfucker. So he owed me a drink, and we met up at a huge ass beers on Bourbon, man. Now, if you've ever been to Bourbon Street, man, when it's a party going on, it's a whole lot of people, it's a whole lot of shit, man. But huge ass beers, man, got these basically huge ass beers. And he bought me like a, I think it was like a 36 ounce, what was that, Blue Moon? And yeah, man, we drank that shit. I got a chance to meet his wife, his beautiful wife and kid, man, like his son. Like, it was real cool, man, to meet a listener of the show, man. Like, I'm not even in New Orleans. Like, it's just different, right? You go somewhere, you go out of town, like, hey, man, I fuck with you. I listen to your shit. And, like, yeah. And we got a chance to meet up, and we linked up. Coolest people in the world, bro. So shout out to my man, Jeremy Wilson, man. Appreciate you being a man of your word, buying that drink like you were supposed to. Now, you'd be smart not to bet against me again. I'm just going to say that, right? Not to do that again, man. So shout out to Jeremy. Also, man, with the Red Dress Run, man, of course, like I said, me and my wife, we do that every year. It's a really good time. Seeing all these people in red dresses and shit, just partying or whatever. We did our thing on bourbon. But I'm going to say this right now. Yeah. Your man Span can't really kick it as much as he used to. So check this out, man. Like, I met with Jeremy on bourbon, right? But let me tell you how the day started. Me and my wife, we decided we were going to check this spot out. I think it was on Canal Street. It's called the Ruby Slipper, right? Long ass wait for the Ruby Slipper. So, like, I'm a little annoyed at the wait and the way that some of the staff was acting when we was asking, like, you know, how much longer it might be. But when we finally got in, I'm eating. What did I get? I got a Cajun omelet or something like that. And my wife got the shrimp and grits and whatnot. And so we're eating that and we're drinking mimosas. I had like a peach Bellini or some shit like that. So we drinking that shit. So we start off the day drinking, right? We leave from Canal Street. We leave from there, head over to Bourbon because the festivities for the Red Dress Run is already in full swing. We leave there, head to Bourbon. We go and get us some hand grenades, right? It's kind of like common fare on Bourbon Street, man. You go get your hand grenade or whatever, or a hurricane or whatnot. We drinking on that shit, right? Cool beans. Like, you need something cold in the heat, man. Because, like, when you get to New Orleans, man, the heat is, like, leaning on a motherfucker like it knows you, man. It's like it engulfs you. It gives you a hug when you get out the airplane, right? So, yeah, we doing that. We drink it. We had the peach Bellinis and the mimosas. Now we having hand grenades. So then we go to Huge Ass Beers because now I got to meet up with the homie Jeremy, right? So now we up to Huge Ass Beers. He bought me a Huge Ass Beer. My wife has a Huge Ass Beer. Now my wife is buying shots. Jeremy and my wife are sharing fucking shots. They taking shots and shit. And I'm just like, all right, cool. I'm gonna chill in the cup with my beer. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of beer. And you got to drink beer fast, man. You can't let the beer just sit in the cup and get warm. And then it starts tasting, it ain't that good. So you got to swig it down, right? So I take that down. And I get another one, right? Get another huge ass beer. Now, in the meantime, all of this, me and my wife is having a ball, right? We get a huge ass beer, shutting the bitch down. Like, my man keeps shouting out Detroit and shit, you know, like Detroit in the building, what up? And we in there, we kicking it, we partying, right? So here's what happened. My wife was talking about she wanted to go to some shit called Dirty Linen, right? Now, we've never done the Dirty Linen thing in New Orleans. But she was saying, you know what? I want to check out Dirty Linen this time. So I'm like, all right, cool, baby. We go back to the hotel. We change clothes. And we can do the Dirty Linen thing, right? So we get back to the hotel. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of cool in the hotel. So, like, your man Span kind of got a little sick there. Yeah, I got a little sick. And yeah, your man Span called Earl, bro. Yeah, I was in there like calling Earl like a motherfucker, bro. Now, let me tell you, here's the thing. I'm one of those kind of people, like, if I'm drinking a whole lot and I feel like I gotta throw up, I'm not gonna wait on it. I kind of like just go ahead and like stick my finger down the back of my throat and let that shit ride, because the minute I do that, I start feeling better. So I don't want to be one of those people that kind of sit around and just feels bad until this shit finally decides to go do what it's gonna do. I say, fuck that. Let me go ahead and expedite the process and get on about getting this shit up out of me so I'm going back to doing what I was doing, right? So yeah, I did that. And I came out of the bathroom and I had a little bit of a headache. And I said, well, maybe all I need to do is just sit down for a minute, drink a little water, get my, you know, because when, you know, you're a little dehydrated after all of that. So let me drink a little water. Let me sit down. And yeah. So I did that. And then I fell right to fucking sleep on the couch, bro. Fell right to sleep. Fell asleep on the couch. My wife got a picture of me on the Facebook talk. Told everybody, yo, he called Earl and his nigga passed out. I didn't wake up until about 12 o'clock that evening. I looked up. My wife was in the bed already. And there was no going out Friday night. There was no more going out. And I felt really bad because I know my wife wanted to go and do the Dirty Linen thing. And I kind of fucked that up by being fucked up, right? So, yeah, man, like, yeah, we did that. And, you know, like, for me, New Orleans is about the food and it's about the drink. I have a really good time going down there. I'll go down there every time I get a chance, I will go down there simply for the food and the drink, because the food and the drink is amazing, man. The people down there are really fucking cool, man. I fucks with New Orleans really heavy. There was a lot of construction going on Bourbon Street when we was down there because they were dealing with flooding and stuff like that. So I think they were trying to upgrade the drainage system down there. But it was still a good time, man. So for anybody who listens to me, check out fucking New Orleans, man. Go holler at them people down in New Orleans, man. Show them people some love and support, man. I fucks with New Orleans heavy, bruh. Like, I really do love going down there. And like I said, man, shout out to the homie Jeremy for being a man of his word, hooking the homie up with the drink. I'm sorry I threw that shit up later on, but yeah, it is what it is, man. But like I said, that was our wedding anniversary. That was our second anniversary, man. So for all of you guys who have, you know, kind of sent you congratulations and stuff like that, we really do appreciate that. And yeah, I was gone for that. And then another thing, man, like last weekend, well, at least actually this weekend, I didn't know if I was going to actually get a chance to be on the mic this weekend because there was supposed to have been a high school reunion. My high school reunion was supposed to happen today. Yesterday. It was supposed to happen yesterday, and then it was postponed until next Saturday. So I'm going to try to get you guys a show Thursday. I may not be on the mic Sunday, man. I know it's a lot. But yeah, man. So it's been kind of busy. I've been kind of busy doing that, man. Like getting back into the swing of things, getting back to work and all this other stuff, and like just getting reacclimated to being back at home and everything else. So yeah. Thank you for everybody for the congratulations on the wedding anniversary, and I appreciate it. We do appreciate it very much. So, yeah, I got some random thoughts, man, that I was kind of thinking about, and these are some things that have, like, just been going on over the course of the last few weeks that I've just been, it's, you know, they random, you know what I mean? So, of course, one of the random thoughts we kind of already went through, man, we was talking about Teddy Pendergrass and the semi-rapey lyrics in the Come and Go With Me song, man. We were talking about that. But you know, another thing, man, I was kind of reading through Facebook, bro, and I'm starting to notice, man, I think my people from Chicago are the only people who call elementary school grammar school. Right? Like, and like when it comes to grades, kindergarten through eighth grade, I think my people from Chicago are the only people who call them shits grammar school. Now, it may be some pockets here and there where y'all call it grammar school too. Maybe y'all should hit me up, let me know what y'all thinking on that. But like, every time, like, I've never heard anybody else refer to it as grammar school other than my people from Chicago. Never heard it referred to that. So if you guys call grades K through 8 grammar school, hit me up. Let me know. Is that a purely Chicago thing? Because like, what was that? Another friend of mine on Facebook, T, she said something about she had never heard of junior high school or middle school. Like that's something that they didn't have in where she lived. Like they only have elementary school and then high school. Whereas like I know here in Detroit they do the thing where it's like, okay, kindergarten through fifth grade is elementary school, sixth grade through eighth grade is junior high or middle school, or, and you know, of course, then you got high school, ninth through 12th grade. So yeah, man, I was just like something really random. I know, right? Really random. Grammar school. Do you call it grammar school? Is it only Chicago people that do it? Let me know. Another thing that I wouldn't necessarily call this random, but it's something that I've been like kind of talking about over the course of the week, especially on Facebook and having discussions with some of my partners and everything else, right? And one of the things I was thinking about was, of course, we talk about, you know, being an adult, being a man, being a woman, so, you know, those sorts of things and the ideas that come with those things, right? The ideas that how a woman is supposed to portray herself or behave herself or carry themselves and how a man is supposed to do the same, right? And one of the things about manhood, because this comes up a lot, one of the things about manhood that it kind of clicked for me when it comes to some of my dudes, right? Some of my fellas, look at manhood in much the same way as a mechanic who refuses to work on brand new cars. Now follow me. We all know that old hood mechanic, right? The old hood mechanic that we all went to, man, we used to take our cars to him. If you had like a 79 Impala, if you had like an 85 Grand Prix, or if you had a Ford Taurus 1995, some shit like that. He knew everything it was to know about that car. He can fix that car in his driveway. All he needed for you to do was to go get the parts, get him a pack of Newport 100s, and you was good. And maybe maybe $50 or something, right? You was good. And that mechanic knew your shit through and through, right? He was a good mechanic. Good mechanic. But he was so good at the old shit that he refused to like gain new knowledge on some of the new shit, on how things are changing with the industry, how things are changing with the machinery, how things are changing with how we do shit, right? And so I think some of these dudes look at manhood in much the same way is that old ass mechanic with those old ass cars. And it's kind of like this, man. Like, you ever watch, like, it's like taking a, like, say if you had like a Tesla Model 3 and you took it to that old ass mechanic and that mechanic told you, well, yeah. See, I'm gonna tell you what's wrong with that car, boy. I'm gonna tell you what's wrong with that car. That car ain't got no, it ain't got no motherfucking catalytic converter. Somebody took your damn catalytic converter, boy. Now you gotta go down to what's that damn place name? O'Reilly's, yeah, because it used to be Murray's. They named it O'Reilly's now. Take your ass down to O'Reilly's, go down there and get you a catalytic converter for a Tesla Model 3, okay? Now, you got like a, it looked like it's a rear-wheel drive. So go ahead and get you a rear-wheel drive catalytic converter for your Tesla Model 3. Come back here with my Newport 100s, and I'm going to go ahead and put this motherfucker on for you, right? Now, the thing is, Tesla Model 3 ain't got no motherfucking catalytic converter on it, man. It's never had a catalytic converter on it. And in much the same way that, like, when we look at manhood now, like, it's like dudes who are afraid of the ways in which people change, in the ways in which we look at how manhood is supposed to be and how manhood is presented and things like that. And so it's like, well, we've always been doing it this one way. Why do we have to change it now? And it's one of those things where, like, when you know better, you do better. When you come into more information, you understand that these things don't necessarily work in the ways in which you thought that they did. And that's the same thing with manhood today. Like, some of these dudes is walking around with the old-ass owner's manual, and they ain't updated their owner's manual, and they don't know what the fuck is going on today. And no matter how much you try to talk to them about ways in which this shit is fucked up, they ain't trying to hear it because it ain't in that old-ass owner's manual that they got. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it was, like, kind of one of those things I was kind of thinking about. Like, yo, because it's amazing the way people hold on to some of this old shit, right? We hold on to a lot of old shit. I'm guilty of that, right? Like, one of the old things that I hold on to is fitted baseball caps, right? Lids or someplace like that, or Champs or Foot Locker or whatever. I go in there and I look at the baseball caps or whatever, and I'm always looking for the fitted caps. I don't give a fuck about a snapback, right? I'm old school like that. I want to fit it. I want to be able to put that fucking hat on and know it's my hat. I don't want nobody else unsnapping my shit and fitting it for they fucking head. No, fuck that. I want my shit fitted. Only my head is supposed to go in this hat in the first fucking place, right? You go into a Champs or a Liz now, you can barely find a fucking fitted. And I feel like, yo, the times are passing me by because I ain't fucking with snapbacks. And you know what's funny? Like, I'm kind of elitist in a way too, right? Because, like, the snapbacks was what you could, that's what you got when you couldn't afford a fitted back in the day, right? Now it's totally switched. You get a fucking snapback for like $70, $50 for a snapback, for an adjustable? Niggas, you crazy? Nah. But yeah, man, it's like kind of that's just kind of how it's been. So like I look at that, and I've always been looking at that, like lately, especially lately, with all this shit that we got going on with, like, you know, rape culture, and with like the shit going on with Usher and with like Bill Cosby and all these other things, man. Like, it's a lot of dudes who sitting around feeling like they're getting fucking attacked, and really it's like, yo, man, we've learned a different way, bro. Maybe it's time for you to step your fucking game up, right? So yeah, man, we got that going on, man. Another thing, man, like I actually went on ahead and I did the thing with Ancestry DNA. You know, I wanted to find out like what my, you know, what my genetic makeup is and, you know, how I came to be in this world. Like, what are my ancestors, right? Who are my ancestors and where do I descend from and all this other stuff, right? And it's one of those things, man, like where me and my grandmother actually talked about this. Me and my granny, we set up and she said she wanted to do it. And I said I was going to buy a kit for her. But one of the things about this was on my mom's side, I pretty much I know a little bit, right? I know on my mom's side, like there are some white folks in the family. Like I know I got white descendants in the family. Like I know that like as late as my great great grandfather, he was a flat out white man, right? My grandmother tells me this story about how she came to actually move to Detroit years ago, like even before my mother was born and stuff like that when she was young. My grandmother came to tell me the story about how my great-great-grandfather had heard a story. Like some people in the store were talking about my grandmother. My grandmother was a really attractive young lady. And there was these white men in the store plotting on raping my grandmother, right? So when he heard this, they didn't know that my grandfather was actually her granddaddy. So he gave my great-grandmother money to get my grandmother out of Mississippi and up to Detroit, right? And so, you know, she tells me this story, man, and it's like I've seen pictures of, like, we got an uncle named Tom, and he's white. Like, it's like that's the craziest shit in the world. But we've got an uncle named Tom. He's white. I've seen pictures of him. Whitest man I ever seen in my life. No. But yeah, like I know that on my mother's side of the family, and you can look at the lineage, like it's some really fair skinned women in my family. But on my mom's side of the family, that yeah, there's some white people there intermingled with the black people. On my father's side, I have absolutely no fucking clue because we really didn't have much of a relationship. So what I did was I said, you know what? I want to find out how much, you know, where I descend from. Where do I come from? I want to get a general idea, at least somewhere better than what I know now. And so what I did was I said, fuck it. I went on ahead. I saw Ancestry.com had like a sale on their DNA kits. Nigga, they was like, yo, they usually $99.99. I got my shit for $69.99. And I went on ahead and I copped one. And they send you this little box and shit. And it's like a vial in it. And you got to spit in the vial up to this like line. And then like it's some little solution that you shake it up with. And then you put that motherfucker back in the mail. And I'm supposed to learn where I descend from in the next, I think they said 4 to 6 weeks I should get the results back. So what I said I was going to do was I'm going to reveal the results right here live on the show, right? You know, especially when we talk about racial issues quite a bit here. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, when I walk out of the door, most people see me as a black man. I am a black man, but I'm sure that there's some other things going on within this bloodline that ends up with me walking around as a black man with a German last name. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's one of those things, bro. Like, I felt like that was something that I wanted to do, and I wonder if any of you guys have ever done that. So I'm gonna make that a poll tonight here on the Spare Report. Is like, if you've ever done the Ancestry DNA or any of the other DNA tests to find out what your lineage is. And how did it make you feel? You know, what did you do with it? Go ahead. I really would like to hear your results, man. I really would like to hear how you went about that and what did you think of the results when you did get those back. I'm gonna make that a poll for tonight's episode as well, man. So yeah, we did that. Another thing, man. Let's see what's going on. This has been a lot of shit going on with your boy Span. So how about, like, check this out, man. Now, I've been telling y'all for a while, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, I've been telling y'all for a while about like net neutrality and all of this other stuff, right? So one of the things about net neutrality that I was talking about was the fact that there's going to be a lot of times where like these internet cable providers, these internet service providers are going to start trying to tamp down on the amount of data that you guys use on their services, right? And one of the things I was talking, one of the reasons I was saying this is because I think I brought it up because there was a lot of people talking about the use of their Fire Sticks, right? Like people were giving up cable, they just wanted the internet and they were going to use Fire Sticks and they was going to watch TV and watch everything through the Fire Stick, right? And I said this a while ago. I said, yo, man, like, and this is something that if you pay attention to any of this tech news or whatever, like I kind of do, you've seen this coming. So Comcast then hits your boy with a motherfucking data cap warning saying that I hit 90% of my shit and it's only halfway through the month. Now, check it. I've never run over a data cap in my life when it comes to home internet service, right? I was surprised when I got that notification to say that me and my wife supposedly had used over 900 gigs of data for the month, right? And the funny thing about it was that we were trending downward on our internet usage as much TV as I watch and as much video games as I play. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't been playing games a hell of a lot lately. I really hadn't. But the games that I play, the TV that we watch, the only thing we changed was like we got the X1, them Xfinity X1 boxes with the DVR and all that other shit that they use in the cloud. So now you got to like download the shit from the cloud in order to watch the shit that you didn't record it. That's the only thing that I thought changed, and I felt like that was what was going on. But I called Comcast, and Comcast was like, yo, man, maybe somebody got access to your Wi-Fi password, and they just went crazy and started downloading shit. And that might have been true. It might have been true. But the point that I'm making with this shit is that they gave me a 1 terabyte limit. I got a 1 terabyte limit. Now, of course, like, apparently everybody got, like, these data limits. Like I didn't know when they was coming. But apparently quite a few people got these data caps. Like, my man Sterling was talking about he got, like, a 3 terabyte limit with Comcast because he got the triple play. What's my man named? Jerry. He got, like, a 3 terabyte limit. And, like, somebody else said they, like, if they didn't have a 3 terabytes, they'd be in trouble. I'm like, man, what the fuck are y'all doing? That y'all going through, like, 2.5 to damn near 3 terabytes of data a month. Like, Jesus Christ. Right? But the thing is like, all of this stuff that we doing with these streaming services, with these streaming sticks and these streaming apps, like, yo, it's getting to a point where they about to start cracking down on a lot of that shit. Like, all of y'all that's, like, on this Fire Stick shit, yeah, that ain't going to be a thing in a while, bro. They going to start making y'all pay more to be able to use the internet just so you can use that. And I know a lot of y'all are using it because, yo, it's a savings, right? And I get it. But, like, yo, like, Comcast, Cox, Time Warner, Verizon, all of them are getting to a point where they're trying to limit the amount of data that you use or make you pay a premium for more data that you use. Right? It's becoming that kind of thing. It's becoming that kind of party. And so, like, I'm looking at this, like, yo, 90% of your data has been used. I'm wondering how much data I'm using right now to streaming this podcast live. I really do. I kind of wonder how much I'm doing right now. I'm probably going to crack that 1,240 gigabyte limit probably around Thursday. Probably hit that about Thursday. I wonder if they're going to, like, cut my shit off. Like, if they're going to, like, if it's going to hit a wall. Now, the funny thing is, like, yo, I'm current on my bill, but it'd be interesting to see if they actually, like, all right, you can use all this internet, and then they start slowing my shit down, sort of like your cell phone companies do when you go over your data with them, right? You know, they say you got unlimited data, but really you got 22 gigs to use every month, and after you do that, you start slowing down to the point where you can't use your shit no more, right? So, yeah, man, that is going on, man. A lot of shit. I done sat here and talked for 36 motherfucking minutes about all that shit, right? So, yeah, let's get into some of this news, bruh. It's been a minute. It has been a minute. So let me, all right. Let me, here we go. Okay. So I found this story, man, and I thought it was apropos considering what I'm doing right now. Apparently, there's a new study that says drinking beer leads to mental clarity. Now, I just gotta say it. You know what? I ain't gotta say it. I just let him say it.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
So, apparently, drinking beer can lead to mental clarity. Maybe that's part of the reason why I do this shit while I'm doing the show. It helps me be lucid and elucidate. Oh, I said elucidate. It helps me enunciate and be more clear in my message and all this other shit, right? So, apparently, excuse me. Researchers at the University of Graz in Austria have released findings from a study that says mild alcohol intoxication helps lead to mental clarity and spark creative thought. Researchers at the University of Graz in Austria have released findings from a study that says, wait, okay, they put that shit up there twice. Shame on y'all. 70 volunteers, they got this shit from 70 people. Never mind, y'all. Jesus. 70 volunteers between the ages of 19 and 32 were given both alcohol-free and regular beers before taking a series of tests. The experiment showed volunteers performing better on a word problem test after drinking a pint of beer than they did after drinking the non-alcoholic drinks. The researchers did note, however, that concentration and memory issues were apparent during other skill tests. It says, while other while many activities usually benefit from high cognitive control, some may actually suffer from too much focus, said the study's lead director, author Matthias Benedict. Alcohol may reduce fixation effects by loosening the focus of attention. Thereby, alcohol may facilitate a broader associative search and the effective solving of creative tasks that are prone to fixation effects. Although creativity appeared to be enhancing part, although creativity appeared to be enhanced by drinking a pint, the researchers did not did note that consuming more than that may affect creative negatively. Creativity negatively. Jesus Christ. Although the creativity appeared to be enhanced by drinking a pint, the researchers did note that consuming more than that may affect creativity negatively. All right. So you can't drink more than a pint of the shit. And let's see how much is in this bottle. I got 12 ounces. So, yeah. I don't know if that comes up to a pint or not. I don't want to do the conversions right now, but I am going to take a swig. All right. So, yeah, man. Drinking makes you smart. Drinking makes you smart. So, yeah, man. That's going on. That's crazy. Okay. So, here's the thing. I know there's a lot of shit. A lot of shit that's been going on in the world. And a lot of the stuff I haven't really had a chance to... had a chance to really pay as much attention to because there's so much news being covered on the actions and the events that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, right? And so, yeah, I kind of felt like I wanted to get some of this other stuff out of the way because I know this, the show can get a little heavy at times, man. But we're going to try to have a little fun with this if that's even possible. But the thing is, man, like for somebody who's on the mic and who talks about these issues every week or as often as I'm on the mic, talks about this all the time. It's one of those things where you take no fucking joy in being right about shit. Like none whatsoever. Like nothing about this, nothing about being right about any of this stuff makes you happy because it means that, yo, this world is so fucked up. Right? So, of course, you guys know at this point, everybody knows what the fuck happened in Charlottesville. There was, white supremacists going down there with the tiki, the tiki torches and, they're marching toward the Robert E. Lee statue and they're protesting the taking down of the Robert E. Lee statue. And they come into contact with some anti-protesters who were affiliated, some with Black Lives Matter, some with Antifa, some with various different organizations who are against white supremacy, who are against Nazis, right? And so, the interesting thing is that Donald Trump had to talk. And Donald Trump, he came out the first time and he said some shit about, there's fought on both sides and shit. And then, of course, rightfully so, motherfuckers got in his ass about it. 2 days later, he comes out and he gives this stale ass statement, where he's talking about, I condemn the KKK. He includes them, right? Because he said all hate groups, including the KKK and including white nationalists, including Nazis. And it was stale in the sense that, like, yo, we knew he didn't want to do it. Well, you can tell he didn't want to do it because of the way he spoke. He didn't veer off script. He had no passion behind what he was saying. He couldn't speak extemporaneously on any of this shit. Hell, I got to stick to this script. Otherwise, they're going to get in my ass. Then he does that, and then he expects everybody to give him a pat on the head, right? Whole lot of conservative folks coming out. Oh, my God, I think this is a really, really effective speech. I think he hit the nail right on the head. I think he was tempered in his response. I think he really got this thing going. I think he's going on a road to the right direction, and we're going to move on as a country. And then 2 days later, this motherfucker comes right back and undoes all of that shit, undoes everything, blames all of the people who were counter protesting white supremacists, Nazis, right? Nazis. We got Nazis walking around on the streets of the United States of America. Folks are like, "Hey, it's a freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, really? For Nazis?" For Nazis. So, like, and here's the thing. Like, again, we talk about freedom of speech a lot. Freedom of speech is not freedom from responsibility. Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences. Yeah, you can go out there and say some shit. You can also go out there and say some shit and get your ass whooped because of what you said. That's part of the whole freedom of speech thing. The only thing freedom of speech protects you from is persecution from the government. Say it again. The only thing the First Amendment protects you from is persecution from the government for what you say. That's it. It does not protect you from anybody's reaction to what you say. Bottom line, let's get this shit straight. It does not protect you from anybody's reaction to what you say. Ever. Right? So, you got that going on. You got Nazis in the street, and they kill somebody. Right? There's a young lady, I think her name was Heather Heyer, run over by a car, by a white supremacist. And you got the current occupant of the White House going on in front of everybody saying that there was equal blame on both sides, that somehow Black Lives Matter and Antifa are equally on the same plane as the fucking KKK and Nazis. And this is one of the things that I kept seeing over the course of the week, man, like so many people trying to use this false equivalence of, yeah, Black Lives Matter is the same as the KKK. Black Lives Matter is out here. They're advocating for the killing of police. And like, yo, outside of that one incident that happened in Minneapolis, where there was a few people who were associated with Black Lives Matter talking about, you know, fry them like bacon and all this other stuff. Black Lives Matter as a whole hasn't advocated for the killing of any police officers, man. As a matter of fact, Black Lives Matter, you know what's funny? Is like Black Lives Matter speaks to the extrajudicial killings of Black people, unarmed Black people, by the police, right? That's what Black Lives Matter is. White supremacists are speaking on, yo, we the only motherfuckers who have a right to be here, and we want to eradicate everybody else who isn't us. Two totally different fucking things. And at this point, I'm like, yo, like I stopped. I kind of felt like at this point, if you don't know what the fuck Black Lives Matter is, then just stop fucking talking about Black Lives Matter. Because I've even heard, like, it was disheartening, man, this week just to see even Black people saying the same dumb shit as some of these white supremacists saying, like, man, shit, Black Lives Matter, what the hell, what they doing in the hood, though? Like, the same dumbass talking points that all these motherfuckers use, especially when I know these niggas ain't doing shit in the hood, but they want to talk about what everybody else isn't doing in the hood. Right? So we saw this false equivalency being brought up. And we're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But I'm going to tell you this, man. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just play their words. I'm going to play their words. And there should be no motherfucking question. So for anybody listening to this, just listen. Right? Just listen. I'm going to play their words, and their words will convict them. I don't have to really say a whole hell of a lot. Their words will convict them. So who are we going to talk about right now? Right now, we're going to talk to, let's see, where is it? Oh, yeah, here we go. We're going to talk to, what was that? RedState.com, right? Now, RedState.com, of course, is a right-wing, right-leaning website. You know, they talk about a lot of conservative issues. They talk about a lot of Republican things going on. And they put out an article. This came out August 16th. And they asked the question. This is after Donald Trump had given his 3 press conferences on what happened in Charlottesville. They put out the question that says, in retrospect, is there anyone who could have predicted where we are today? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Black people can tell you where we are today. Could have told you this. We did tell you this all last year while Donald Trump was running for president. Hillary Clinton told you this shit all last year, all while running for president. Let's see. The people who voted, over the 3 million plus people who voted for 3 plus more million people who voted for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump could have told you this. Like, the writing was on the wall. I didn't even, like, you know what's, like, it's amazing, man. Let's read this shit. It says, 2 years ago, former Texas governor, current energy secretary Rick Perry stood in front of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. and gave what many call the most powerful speech on race in a generation. That was hyperbole. That wasn't hyperbole. Yeah, that is hyperbole, because it didn't even come close. It didn't even come close. I remember when Barack Obama gave that speech on race in the 2008 presidential election, when folks were talking about Reverend Wright. He had to talk about Reverend Wright, kind of distance himself from Reverend Wright, but also bring up the fact that he was raised by white people, and the experiences that even he had with white grandparents, and some of the things that he had to deal with them. Although he loved them, he also understood that they didn't understand everything about being black and what it was like for him. That goes down as one of the greatest race conversations, one of the greatest race speeches of all time. This shit here, nobody's really ever heard of. But it says, given the events in Charlottesville over the past weekend, all the ugliest, most desperate concerns about who Donald Trump was and the elements he inspired throughout the primary season have seemed to come to fruition. But you just asked the fucking question as to, could anybody have predicted this? When we could have. We told you this. We marched in the streets because of this. Nobody fucking listened. So is Donald Trump responsible for the actions of others? Not directly. You have to assume that those bad players of the alt-right are capable of free thought and controlling their actions. Were many of them inspired by him or emboldened by not only his campaign trail rhetoric, but his refusal to call him out by name immediately following last Saturday's tragic events? Without a doubt. Then what the fuck are we even talking about? What the fuck are we even talking about? So you got this. You got a lot of white people, a lot of conservatives acting as if they're surprised by what's going on here. We had another, let me go back out of here. We had another person. This lady was on Fox News, and she actually, broke down in tears, crying, because she was being challenged on her thinking. She was being challenged on the fact that all of this shit is racist. Like, all of the stuff that's being talked about right now by the alt-right, the racists, the white supremacists, the Nazis. She's being called out on this. So, matter of fact, let me pull this up. I want to kind of share this with you guys. Let me see if I can do that. Where is the share? Screen share. Where is it? All right. All right, there we go. We're sharing the screen. So, all right, here we go. Check this out, y'all.
To me, because, you know, I think back, and picking up on what Senator Blumenthal just said, I think back, you know, people who fought in World War II against Nazis in a U.S. uniform did not want to hear both sides have something to say here. People who slammed the plane into the buildings here in Manhattan, 9/11.
He didn't say both sides have something to say. He said both sides have blame.
Yeah, I don't think that both sides have blame.
Everybody who showed up with a weapon, it had a part in the violence.
No, if you're a patriot and you show up to stand up for American values and say that it is wrong to be racist,
that's great,
and to stand outside a synagogue with automatic machine guns and scare the Jewish people inside, I think that
you're talking about something totally different. No one said equivocal. No one said equal. And that's one of the places where this went off the rails.
No one had to say equal. No one had to say equivocal. The minute that he said that there was blame on both sides, that was the equivalency right there. You're playing a game of semantics. That was the equivalence right there. He said there was blame on both sides. How are you actually trying to equate Nazis, white supremacists, marching the streets with those who are protesting against them? When this country fought wars trying to eradicate Nazis, right? But now all of a sudden we got to give them equal protections under the law, even though what they stand for is against everything that this fucking Constitution stands for, supposedly. But let's play this some more.
He never said equal. Said there were very good people among the neo-Nazi protesters. He did. Don't roll your eyes. He did say those words.
He didn't say there were very good people among neo-Nazi protesters.
He said there were very.
He didn't. He didn't. How about this?
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
She said he didn't say that. Hold on. Let's play that again.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
So he didn't say that.
Say that people on the that. Other side.
There are people that were opposed.
It was clear
to
what he was talking about.
Look, can I tell you this? I am so uncomfortable having this conversation.
Now, here's another thing. And this is where I thought it was really, really, really rich. She's uncomfortable with this conversation. She's uncomfortable with the talk about race. And she's going to show us just how uncomfortable this shit is going to get to her.
And that's what this woman said before this, because I know what's in my heart. And I know that I don't think anyone is different, better, or worse based on the color of their skin. But I feel like there is nothing any of us can say right now without being judged.
You know, Melissa.
This is one of the ways in which white people try to derail a lot of conversations about race. Right? This is how this happens. Like, right now, she's not feeling good. Like, the whole point that she was just making is really just kind of like, it was a flimsy point that she was making because it was easily refutable. But the fact that she couldn't really back that point up, and now because I can't back that point up, and what I'm defending actually is the fact that this man is equivocating with racist, because I can't back this up, let me derail this conversation. Let me center this conversation around me. Let me talk about how this makes me feel as a white woman. And now I'm feeling judged because I can't say anything without feeling judged. Now, you know what? You feel that way now. Try walking around with black skin every day, feeling like everything you do, everything you say, everything about you is under scrutiny. By the police, government, by your employer, everybody. You walk up and down the street, and you know, of course, like, and this happens to all of us really, but you walk up and down the street and people may have preconceived notions about the kind of person that you are and all that kind of shit, right? Like, I walk around, I got tattoos on both my arms, like both forearm, bicep. I got 7 tattoos. I walk around with a polo shirt on and people are like, oh man, he looks nice. Oh shit, he's got tattoos on. That shit it's a black man chained down to America. I don't know about this. Right? They'll have preconceived notions. But the idea that because you are now uncomfortable about this conversation, we have to deal with this discomfort every fucking day. You're brought to tears with the fact that somebody even brings this shit to your attention. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch white people get twisted up in knots, being forced to acknowledge the perspectives of other people. Because at the bottom line is that a lot of this shit is about them being exposed to the fact that, yo, this is what people are thinking about you. Your self-image is kind of fucked, right? Your self-image is kind of fucked. You have this idea of who you are, and this is how everybody else is looking at you. And it's not as rosy as the way you look at yourself. And this is how this came to her. She came to this realization. Like, oh my God, I'm being judged because I believe in what the president had to say. Even though what the president had to say was utter bullshit. Right? Whole lot of this shit going on this week. She's crying about being uncomfortable about race.
So there have been a lot of tears on our network and across the country and around the world. We have people who are serving, as my father did. He came to visit. We took him to the Statue of Liberty for the first time in his life yesterday.
Now, I also think it was very interesting that it was a black woman who came to this woman's defense to make her feel better about the fact that she was uncomfortable about race. Always having to come to their rescue. Always having to, like the way in which the way in which black women have to like kind of stand up and nurture even this white woman, sometimes to our own detriment. This white woman felt like she was being judged because her president equated racist with Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter has killed no one, has advocated for the killing of no one. But we're going to act like they're the same. And I've seen this a lot all over the course of this week. Like so many people who you look at them like, man, are you really this stupid? You know? So yeah, man, that's going on. I thought that was funny. I kind of thought that was funny. I got a little chuckle out of the fact that this white woman was so broken up over the fact that people were like were making her uncomfortable talking about race. I thought that was kind of hilarious. Now, another thing that kind of, let me see if I can, okay. Now, another thing that kind of came up over the course of this week. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, check this out. So, we had white supremacist Christopher Cantwell, right? Now, he was one of these people, Vice News was following Christopher Cantwell around, right? And he was on Vice News talking big shit. Like, he talking cash shit. Like, Christopher Cantwell was out here stunting hard for the fucking gram, yo. Like, here you go. Matter of fact, let's see. We're going to pull this dude up. Because Christopher Cantwell really, really doesn't like black people. He really, really doesn't like Jewish people. And he lets us know it in this video. So let me go ahead and let's screen share this again. Let's do this. And let's pull up Christopher Cantwell and all this cat shit he had to say.
Gives me some pizza. Who drove how long to get here?
12 hours from our car. We've been driving from north of the border, so.
Oh, you came down from Kanatistan. If I was doing the radical agenda in Canada, I'd probably be arrested for it, right?
Yeah. Well,
I contacted the local police. I called the Charlottesville Police Department, and I asked them, I said, I have been told that there's a warrant out for my arrest.
Trayvon Martin case happened, you know, Michael Brown and Tamir Rice and all these different things happen. Every single case, it's some little black asshole behaving like a savage, and he gets himself in trouble, shockingly enough.
I want to be peaceful. I want to be law-abiding, okay? That was the whole entire point of this. And I'm watching CNN talk about this as violent white nationalist protests. We have done everything in our power to keep this peaceful, you know?
Of course we're capable. I'm carrying a pistol. I go to the gym all the time. I'm trying to make myself more capable of violence.
And our enemies just will not stop. We've been fucking assaulted. They are threatening us all over the place.
Kel-Tec P3AT, 380 ACP, Glock 19, 9mm, Ruger LC9, also 9mm, and there's a knife. Well, I actually have another AK in that bag over there. You can lose track of your fucking guns, huh?
We are trying to make this peaceful. We are trying to be law-abiding, and our enemies will not stop. What options do we have left? If somebody would like to inform me of that, then I will be grateful to you. I really will.
This motherfucker is boo-hooing. After all that shit he talked, on Vice News, he gets out there, he finds out that he may have a warrant out for his arrest, and gets scared shitless. Matter of fact, let's stop sharing here, and I want to minimize that screen. But yeah, Christopher Cantwell. Now, you know what, another thing that's funny with this whole shit, man, with people like Christopher Cantwell, with a lot of these white supremacists, white nationalists, Nazis, and all this other shit, like, it's amazing to watch how they have to create oppression in order for them to feel oppressed, right? Christopher Cantwell took his ass to Charlottesville, Virginia, with an AK-47, with an AR-15, with a Glock 19, with a Ruger LC-9. He had a knife. He had a whole lot of little different weapons. And then he talks about him being nonviolent. As he's also saying that, yo, I'm trying to be more violent. I go to the gym and all this other shit, right? But they're trying to create some sort of villain for them to have to fight against in order for them to have some sort of oppression, because bottom line, white men are winning. When it comes to income inequality, white men are tops. When it comes to the Fortune 500 CEOs in the country, white men are tops. When it comes to the amount of the percentage of white males in government, whether that be your House of Representatives, whether that be the Senate, whether that be in the executive branch, white men are winning. Whether that be in county governments, whether that be in state governments, white men are winning. White men have a stranglehold on the country when it comes to governmental representation. White men have a stranglehold on representation when it comes to economic, when it comes to business. When it comes to government contracts being given to businesses, by and large, white men are benefiting from that. White men are least likely to be killed by the police. Now, I know a lot of, like, here's the tricky part. They'll say, like, yo, more white men were killed by the police than there were black people killed by the police. So why are you talking about Black Lives Matter? The chances of a black person being killed by the police is 3 times higher than that of a white person. There are more of you here. There are more white people here. And the funny thing about when white people are killed unjustly by the police, guess who's the ones coming out here talking on y'all behalf? Black Lives Matter. White Lives Matter is nowhere to be found. All Lives Matter is nowhere to be found. Ironically, Blue Lives Matter is nowhere to be found when it comes to this Charlottesville shit, because it was 2 state troopers who lost their lives in Charlottesville too. And I have yet to hear anybody from Blue Lives Matter say a motherfucking thing about the 2 troopers who lost their lives because those white supremacists were acting a motherfucking fool down there. Hadn't said shit. Hadn't said nothing. So we know that is all bullshit. We know it's all bullshit. But yeah, man, Christopher Cantwell. Y'all, it's crazy. It's crazy to watch these people twist themselves in knots to try to create oppression. Like, if this is what white people act like when they think they're being oppressed, I would hate to see these motherfuckers when they actually are oppressed. Right? Because, like, when it comes to oppression, man, like, yo, when it, like, black people, we got the patience of Job sometimes when it comes to oppression, man. We've been dealing with a lot of shit in America. A lot of these white supremacists in the way, in like, the ways in which they act and the ways in which they portray themselves is really how a lot of black people have a right to act when it comes to how this government has treated us, when it comes to how white people have treated us, when it comes to how this society has marginalized and shit, set us aside. It really should be the opposite way around. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the removal of these statues and whether or not these things represent history, and whether or not they represent culture, and whether or not we're stripping the culture and the history away from the South and all of these other things. And, you know, you can't erase the history and all this stuff, right? Truth be told, a lot of the history that y'all think that is attributed to those statues were put up fairly recently when, like, if you want to say recently, is like recently as 1920s to the 1960s when the KKK became prominent. These Confederate monuments, these monuments to fucking traitors to the United States. Let's make no mistake about it. These are people who took up arms against the country to say that, yo, we don't want to be a part of this anymore. We want to be able to continue to have slaves. We want to continue our way of life of generating revenue off of the back of free labor of these people who we treat like animals. We want to continue this, and we will fight to the death to continue this. So, yeah, like the fact that these people are talking about, we want to continue with the legacy of this. It's amazing. It's amazing the mental gymnastics that these motherfuckers will go through, because these are the same people who will tell a black person, like, yo, you really need to get over slavery. This is the same people who tell Jews, like, yo, that Holocaust really didn't happen. You really should get over that Holocaust shit. But at the same time, you want to preserve the history and the monuments of these motherfuckers who lost the fucking war. Who lost the war? You want to continue with the legacy of Loserville. Like, these motherfuckers lost. They got their asses handed to them. They took up arms against the country who you claim to be a patriot of. Right? Meanwhile, you're talking about your son of the Confederacy. The Confederacy took up arms against this country you claim to be a patriot of. You can't have it both ways. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, as a young lady once said to me, and she said to a million people, and I still think it's true today.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
It's not. You can't have it both ways. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say that, yo, black people need to get over slavery while you still holding on to the fact that these Confederate monuments are walking around here, are standing around here. And then you got Donald Trump talking about, so where does it stop? Does George Washington's come down? Does Thomas Jefferson's come down? It's like, yo, man. The Confederacy took up arms against the country that you are the fucking occupant of its executive house. I refuse to recognize this son of a bitch as a president. Fuck him. So, yeah. Christopher Cantwell. Christopher Cantwell. Sorry ass, sad sack motherfucker who's scared now because of the police. And they really do have a warrant out for his arrest. But you know what's funny, man? Like, there's other, like, white supremacists who have now been outed, right? So, like, there was this one, let me see if I can pull this up. It was another guy who was outed. A guy named by the name of Peter Sajanovich. He was 20 years old. He was pictured, as a matter of fact, he's the one screaming on the profile picture for this particular episode of The Spare Report. He went there talking about, he went to protest the the removal of the statue. So I'm going to read this article. This comes out of Newsweek. It says, I did not expect that photo to be shared as much as it was. I understand the photo has a very negative connotation, Sajanovich said in an interview with Channel 2 News. But I hope that the people sharing the photo are willing to listen, that I'm not the angry racist that they see in the photo. He said, as a white nationalist, I care for all people. That's bullshit. We all deserve a future for our children and our culture. White nationalists aren't all hateful. We just want to preserve what we have. Is that right? Is that right? So you want to preserve the history or the legacy of the Confederacy, which is, again, the traitors to the United States and lost the war because of it. That's what you're trying to preserve, right? You can't learn this shit in a history book. You can't learn this shit in a museum. You got to have this shit out front and out in the open. We got to have monuments to the motherfuckers who took up arms against this country. That'd be like, yo, what if like somebody felt like they wanted to give Bin Laden the statue and put that motherfucker in the middle of New York City? But we got to preserve this history, right? I'm like, yo, Bin Laden was a Muslim and he was... He affected this country greatly, and we should have a statue commemorating the memory of what he did here. If a Muslim told you that, if a Muslim American told you that they wanted a statue of Osama bin Laden in the middle of New York, you'd have a motherfucking aneurysm. Your head would explode. So the fact that you silly motherfuckers is out here talking about, we need to preserve this history, while at the same time telling black people they need to get over slavery, they need to get over Jim Crow, they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Man, get the fuck out of here. The fuck out of here. So then he says, however, the Southern Poverty Law Center, in its definition of white supremacy, defines the group as having ideals that focus on the alleged inferiority of non-whites, and states that the group, including the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and racist skinheads, are also considered to be white supremacists, despite Sajanovich's protestations. I came to this march for the message that white European culture has a right to be here just like every other culture, explaining he wanted to demonstrate against what he described as a replacement of white heritage, and had come out of the march because of his protests over the removal of a statue of Confederate Army General Robert E. Lee. And Donald Trump has to say about this asshole.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very fine people. Said three people were killed in the violent demonstrations. One of them, 32-year-old anti-fascist Heather Heyer, when the white supremacists mowed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters at high speed. James Alex Fields Jr. of Ohio was arrested and charged with second-degree murder over the death of Heyer, whose friends and family said that she had died doing what was right. And he's not the only one that has been outed. Like, there was another guy who was outed. He found out he worked like a hot dog stand or some shit. They fired him. Another dude who said, like, you know, he's been forced to move because of his participation in the march for Charlottesville and all this other shit. Yo, man, y'all get no fucking sympathy here. Nobody cares. You want to be a racist? This is how racists get treated. This is how racists should be treated. This is how that idea should be treated. It should be repudiated. It should be pissed on. That's how it should happen. You should find no safe haven having those, harboring those sorts of views towards anybody. Leave people the fuck alone, right? But you know what? You know what, man? The thing that gets me the most is when you got black people, black conservatives, speaking up on behalf of this bullshit. So the easy target tonight would have been Paris Denard. Like, Paris Denard is like really easy. Like, he has absolutely no motherfucking qualms whatsoever about trying to spin any shit that Donald Trump has coming out, right? But one of the things that I found really interesting is because, like, I listen to a lot of different shows, man. Like sometimes I'll listen to Roland Martin's show, News One Now, right? I'll listen to it as a podcast while I'm working and whatever else. Just trying to keep, as I do this show, just trying to keep abreast of some of the things that people are talking about and what's going on in the world. And so I'll listen to Roland Martin's show sometime. And there's this guy who's from the south side of Chicago, and he has no problem reminding everybody that he's from the south side of Chicago. He's a conservative dude. He goes by the name of Giano Caldwell, right? Giano Caldwell, from the south side of Chicago, as I am also, is black conservative. And Giano Caldwell, as recently, let's see, when did this video come out? Let me see. This came out. Wait, this couldn't have come out then. This couldn't have come. This shit says August 20th. So no, I couldn't. Maybe this is when I saved it. I don't know. But Giano Caldwell was on Tommy Lauren's show. Final thought. He was doing it like, you know, what was that, on The Blaze, when she still had shit going on The Blaze. And she talked about him being a black conservative and how hard it is for him to be a black conservative. So we're going to listen to Giano Caldwell talk about how bad he got it as a black conservative and how Democrats got it all fucked up. So check this out.
Nowadays, the only thing harder than being a white male Republican is being a black male Republican. My friend Giano Caldwell found out the hard way. Take a look.
Angela, why do you keep doing this?
Because
why do you keep saying this?
Because it's not based on facts.
It is based
on facts. No, you have an obligation. And Roland, I say this to you every time. The only time I flip out on this show is when people just say stuff. It don't have to be grounded in any kind of reality. Let me tell you something. The establishment just lost the speakership.
True.
John Boehner is an establishment candidate. Now, if you don't know that the Freedom Caucus is a wing of the Tea Party and that they are the ones who protested the process, they were elected.
They've been protesting.
I'm not finished.
Longest.
Yes, since 2010, bruh.
Well, from Donald Trump's alleged support in the African-American community to the Tea Party numbers, and the only time you'll hear a panelist refer to another panelist as bruh. There's a lot going on here. Luckily, I have the man here to tell us all about this firestorm. I welcome Republican strategist Giano Caldwell. Giano, great to see you tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Giano, let's start with Trump. Does he have support in the African-American community? And if so, why is it so hard for your co-panelists to believe there?
Well, he absolutely does have support in the African-American community, and the poll numbers support that. Fox News did a poll in November showing that he had about 13%. There's been other polls that have concluded that he hit higher numbers in the black community. In addition to that fact, Donald Trump has been working very hard to have members, leadership in the black community coalesce around him. You saw where he had a group of pastors come and meet with him in Trump Towers. He's been doing these pastor meetings for quite a while now. And I think that is really working. In the black community, people rely on pastors to get their information from and guidance when it comes to voting for elected officials.
Did Democrats automatically...
Wait, hold up. Did he just say that? Did he just say that black people rely on pastors to get their political information? I don't know if I heard that the first time. Did he say that?
Voting for elected officials.
People
rely on pastors to get their information from and guidance when it comes to voting for elected officials.
He really said that.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Did Democrats automatically believe that they will get the African-American voting bloc? Is that just taken for granted nowadays?
Yes, it has been taken for granted for a number of cycles. But one thing I can say is African Americans have absolutely woken up to the fact that especially after having a black president and not seeing much results under President Obama, they've realized that the Democrats have pretty much just taken their vote for granted, and they're now open to hearing other parties and other perspectives. You see that especially when it comes to, again, this Donald Trump meeting with these black pastors. These are some of the most influential black pastors in the country, folks with tens of thousands of members and tens of thousands of people who listen to them online and buy their tapes, books, etc. So people are open to a new direction, and they want their vote to be competitive because Democrats have totally taken it for granted.
And, you know, the last thing I want to say on this as well is that I do get tired of us always talking about the voting blocks as if they have some specific special interest that they're only voting for. That's not fair. Women don't just vote on women's issues. Millennials don't just vote on student loans. And the African Americans don't just vote on African American issues and Black Lives Matter. That's, to me, what is most frustrating. We are all Americans. We all want this country to be great again, whether that's under Donald Trump or anyone else. That's the fact of the matter. Thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, yeah, that happened, right? So he goes on there on Tommy Lawrence show. He goes on there. He talks about the virtues of Donald Trump. He talks about the number of black people who are jumping on the Donald Trump train and all this other shit. He said this. It had to be last year because Tommy Lawrence didn't have a show this year on the Blaze. I think she's doing her shit on Facebook now, right? So Giano gets on there and he says all of these things. But then he goes on Fox News over the course of the weekend. And after Donald Trump comes out with the shit that Donald Trump has been kind of like telegraphing to us for well over a year, he gets on Fox News and now he has a come to Jesus moment.
Sorry,
Check
Giano,
this out.
Do you agree with that? Do you think, I mean, they're good people on both sides of this debate. We talk about keeping these statues up. People that I've talked to say this is about history. How do we move forward? How do we learn from those mistakes if we just tear everything down?
You know, I come today with a very heavy heart. Last night, I couldn't sleep at all because President Trump, our president, has literally betrayed the conscience of our country, the very moral fabric in which we've made progress when it comes to race relations in America. He's failed us, and this is very unfortunate.
Is it? Did he? Wasn't he doing exactly what the fuck people have been saying for the last year and a half while he was running for fucking president? You surprised? Really? You on Fox News shedding tears over this shit now? You were just on News One Night. You were just on fucking Tommy Lawrence show talking about how much support he's got in the black community and how people are open for this new direction and all this other bullshit and how Barack Obama didn't get black people nothing despite the fact that Barack Obama was fighting motherfucking Republican obstruction for 8 years? Really?
That our president would say things like he did in that press conference yesterday when he says, well, there's, you know, good people on the side of the Nazis. They weren't all Nazis. They weren't all white supremacists. Well, Mr. President, people, good people don't pile around with Nazis and white supremacists. Maybe they don't consider themselves white supremacists and Nazis, but certainly they hold those views. This has become very troubling. And for anyone to come on any network and defend what President Trump did and said at that press conference yesterday is completely lost and the potential to be morally bankrupt. No. I am sorry. I believe that, and I'm being very honest. As someone who's been talking about these issues for a very long time, I'm sorry that this is where we are right now, and I hope the president learns a lesson from his press conference on yesterday. It's disturbing.
Giano, these are very...
Yeah. Crocodile tears, bro. Like, I don't feel sorry for none of these motherfuckers. Like, anybody who voted for Donald Trump, anybody who advocated for Donald Trump, anybody who excused Donald Trump, anybody who gave a pass to Donald Trump, fuck you. Fuck you with a sick dick. Fuck you. I don't have any fucking patience for you whatsoever. You were told this time and time and time again. So I have very little patience. Very little patience. Everybody's acting fucking surprised now. All of these Donald Trump supporters acting surprised now that the motherfucking frog is acting like a goddamn frog. That tiger went tiger. Fuck you acting surprised for. We knew this. Y'all tried to explain a lot of this shit away. Y'all tried to act like it wasn't what we said it was. Y'all tried to act like people wasn't giving him a chance. Y'all tried to act like, yo, I know better than these other niggas, especially with these black people. I really have very little patience for these black motherfuckers who are out here advocating for Donald Trump. Like that that Diamond and Silk chick. Like these goofball motherfuckers. Like them, Giano, fucking Paris Denard. Remember, what was that? I had to give him the ass hat of the week, man. Who was that? Jim Brown? Remember Jim Brown was out here going to meet with Donald Trump, talking about how we need to give Donald Trump a chance and all this other shit? Remember Steve motherfucking Harvey? Remember that shit? All of these motherfuckers who were out here advocating for Donald Trump, they quiet as church mice now. Ain't nobody saying a motherfucking thing. And if they are saying it, they're talking about how sorry it is. Man, fuck your apology, nigga. We tried to tell you beforehand. Fuck you. So, yeah, man. That's going on. And part of the reason why we don't even have an ass hat of the week this week is because there's been so many motherfucking ass hats this week that, yo, it would have been hard to choose between the ass hats. Man, there's like so many this week, they were popping up all over the motherfucking place. Like weeds, man. Like weeds in your lawn, man. Like, you like, man, I got to pull out the weed, be gone. And like, all, what the fuck? Shut up, watch. Shut up. But yeah, man, it's like, yo, like they, I can't, man. I can't. So yeah, we coming up pretty much on the end of the show. But before we do, of course, we got our champ of the week.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
You know what, before I even mention the champ of the week this week, man, I do got to say this, man. The killer, the guy who drove that car into all of those people, his name is James Alex Fields. Yo, you know how this is so fucked up and how you know that Donald Trump has been in bed with these motherfuckers the entire time? Not only, like, when you think about, like, the fact that he empowered these people with having Steve Bannon and, like, Gorka and, like, Jason Miller and all these people surrounding him. He's got all these white supremacists surrounding him within the motherfucking White House. But the fact that this dude's mom, the killer's mom, said that she didn't know that her son was going to a white supremacist rally. She thought he was going to a Donald Trump rally. It's very easy how I can see she can get that confused. Very easy. Right? But our champ this week here at the Spin Report Podcast is Logan Smith. Now, Logan Smith is probably not a name that you've heard of. Logan Smith is the person who's behind the Yes, You're Racist Twitter account. And the Yes, You're Racist Twitter account has been identifying a lot of these white supremacist, racist motherfuckers and putting their names out there, doxing them pretty much, putting their names out there, letting everybody know, yo, this is the racist motherfucker. You probably shouldn't be employing him. This racist motherfucker here, he works for you and he goes to the school here. Like, and these dudes, like, suddenly, now that they're being outed as the racists that they are, suddenly they are, you know, they bitching up. They're bitching up. They like, oh my God, I can't believe that you want to fire me for having repudiated, like fucked up views. I can't believe that you want to fire me for wanting to kill Jews and black people and getting rid of them. Like, I can't believe this. Like, yo, man, this dude is out here doing the Lord's work. Logan Smith is out here doing the Lord's work, man. And I appreciate him. And we should all appreciate him for the work that he's doing with that Twitter account. Yes, you're racist. Point these motherfuckers out, man. Point these motherfuckers out. But yeah, man, we've been going for a while. And it's time I got to get out of here, man. The Game of Thrones is going to come on. And so we got to get out of here for that. But before I go, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spin Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I'll read them here and respond to them here right here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. go ahead and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show. So go ahead and do that. I appreciate anybody who goes ahead and does that. It's your way of putting on for the show. And it doesn't cost you a dime, man. So go ahead and do that for your boy. Also, if you want to watch these shows live, subscribe on Crowdcast. You can get alerted when we go live. You can call into the show live while we're doing it. And you can be a part of this experience here as we do the show. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespareimport.com. The podcasts are available there. You can watch the replays there. And you can vote in the polls there. You can donate to the show there. Everything. Buy t-shirts. The whole nine. You can do that at thespareimport.com, man. So real talk. I appreciate everybody who does that. And I will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam. Peace.